traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, a podcast to promote and improve your practice as an athletic trainer. Many people are looking to change settings, and the grass is not always greener. As I just talked to Tyler Triggs, and he said, you know what? People around me told me I wouldn't like sales. I tried it, and I didn't like sales. And so he switched again quickly. So as an athletic trainer, right now is a great time. You have options. And so if you're looking to change settings, then check out this conversation that we're about to have with Bill Coburn. Bill was in a high school and a college. Now he's working in clinical. He's done a couple other stops in between. He's got 23 years of experience, and he's going to talk about that journey. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/BillCoburn. So it's B-I-L-L, like Bill, and then C-O-B-U-R-N, Bill Coburn, which is his first and last name. Of course, I'm joined by my friend, John Seco, the organizer of this event. And again, we'll look forward to hearing John's story about changing settings coming up soon. So Bill, John, welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right, Bill, let's get us started with where did you come from as far as athletic training, and how long did you stay at each stop, and bring us up to your current position?
Okay. Well, I graduated from Ohio University in June of 2000. Sometime that spring, the high school that I went to had an opening. So the athletic trainer that I was under, or not really under, I was an athlete most of the time in high school. She was deciding it was time to just be a teacher and not do the athletic training stipend after work. So that job became open. So I started there my first year. This was in Marion, Ohio at Marion Harding High School. So my first year, I was just the athletic trainer. I'd come in at noon and stay till practices were done. But they wanted to have a sports medicine teacher. So I taught one class in sports medicine a year, and that lasted 3 years. Then the school system went through some financial trouble, so that position got a reduction in force. But the vocational school, it was like a drew from a 3-county area, was wanting to start an exercise science and sports healthcare program. So I got that teaching position. So that got me 5 years. So basically I was at Marion Harding High School for 9 years, 3 years as a teacher with them, and then 4 more years as a sports medicine, exercise science teacher at the high school level. I taught 1 and 2 levels, but couldn't keep the enrollment up there. So that got reduction in force and all that whole time. So I was basically teaching, basically from 8 to 5, and then, or 8 to 2:30 it was, and then athletic training after that. So practices, I would leave early once I started teaching full-time days, and then obviously stay all night on game nights. And then once that position got a reduction in force in the teaching part, the school system didn't really have a plan for how to have a full-time athletic trainer. So I went back to graduate school, and then went to East Stroudsburg to get a master's in athletic training. So that was my first in athletic training. So I worked with was a graduate assistant at East Stroudsburg in Pennsylvania for women's soccer in the fall and baseball in the spring. And I was able to parlay the baseball experience into moving down to North Carolina with Davidson College. So I worked with volleyball and baseball my first year. And then after that, I got added on a little help with swimming for a couple of years, and then also some coverage of golf for, I think, my last year. But that was fine, but the pay wasn't great at the collegiate level. I think my pay my first year at Davidson was pretty much half of what I did the last year of teaching and stipend for athletic training. But that was going great. And then once Davidson decided to join the Atlantic 10, the travel got to be a bit much, because, you know, with volleyball and baseball, those are probably the two collegiate sports with the most, you know, just game days outside of maybe basketball. So that was probably 80 to 100 games a year of covering, and then all the travel. So when Davidson was in the Southern Conference, it wasn't bad to manage all the travel, because we'd basically go from, you know, barely leave North Carolina half the time, maybe a couple trips to South Carolina, one trip to Alabama, one trip to Tennessee, no Virginia trips. And then once we got the joined the Atlantic 10, then we're going all over the place. Like one road trip for volleyball, we flew to Dayton, played Dayton, then we drove to St. Louis all the way across Indiana and Illinois into St. Louis, then played St. Louis on a Sunday, and then flew back from St. Louis and got back Sunday night, and then be back in the office on Monday morning. So there were way more flights involved that weren't just cool trips. It was just, you know, your regular conference schedule. So during that fall, I had my first son. This is fall of 2014. So, you know, going on 4-day road trips over weekends was not ideal. So I said, try to find something with either only one travel responsibility in sports coverage season or move back to the high school. So I ended up going back to the high school setting. So I moved to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and got a job working at with Reagan High School. And that was through a temporary agency for the first year and a half. And then, and this time I'm living in like 50 minutes away in Greensboro. So I had a 50-minute commute. My wife was working in Durham, North Carolina, 50 minutes, like 45, 50 minutes the other way. So I did that for 2 years. Sometime around then, the contract for the schools was taken over by Wake Forest Baptist Health. So I worked for them, you know, doing the same work, but had a little better pay and a little better benefits for a couple months. Then a job opened up closer to my house in Greensboro. So that was with Greensboro Orthopedics. So I took that job. So moved. And then I had a 20-minute, 15-minute commute, depending on time of day and traffic, but there was hardly ever any traffic. So I went to work with Northwest Guilford High School in Greensboro. Got two state championships out of that, so that was kind of nice. And then during my end of my first year there, I had another son, so it was kind of getting to be a lot to be, you know, basically high school outreach is pretty much all second shift. And high schools in North Carolina have way more sports than what I was used to in Ohio for high school. Like we have field hockey in the fall, and there's no like real gap in between the seasons. Like in Ohio, we had like a good month in between the end of fall sports and when you actually have games, you know, barring playoff trips into like basketball season. So football be over around Halloween, maybe first week of November, then you don't have full on basketball games till Thanksgiving. And the same in the spring with baseball and softball and track. But in North Carolina, it's basically you're running season to season because you can stay outside longer. So you're at, say, football, you're still playing playoff games and basketball's practicing. Then basketball starts games early November, and then they go through to March, and you've got, you know, spring sports tryouts are like around Valentine's Day, and they start playing games outside in March. So, and that goes through June. So that's, you know, that got to be a little demanding. Luckily, I worked for a company called Greensboro Orthopedics, which was just an independent orthopedic office. And then around, let's see, January in late 2018, they decided that they were going to merge with a statewide orthopedic group, which is what I'm with now, Emerge Ortho. They decided to merge with them. So once both kids were around and I didn't want to be doing second shift work all the time, they had an opening here for a work conditioning specialist, which would be, you know, just run a work conditioning program, 8 to 5, well, 8 to noon, lunch 12 to 1, back 1 to 5, out of here by 5, no weekends, unless I really want to help out someone else. There's a few outreach athletic trainers I've helped out on like one or two occasions, but other than that, no event coverage. So I'm done by 5, go home, do whatever I want with my evenings, no weekends required. So now, pretty happy here.
Kind of living the life finally, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of changes. And, you know, one of the questions we have been posing this series is, you know, what prompted the change in the settings? And I know you kind of, you spoke to a lot of those, and but if you can go back to, you know, maybe one or two of those changes. Obviously life changes over time, and we find important things that we need to address and that take priority in our life. But can you point out or talk to a few of the like really truly important things that you considered maybe one or two of those changes, you know, you're talking about the college setting and the travel. You know, I worked at a college setting for 4 years, and our travel was we're up here in Michigan. Our travel was literally everywhere from, I mean, the whole country, but our conference was Ohio to Utah, down to Tulsa, over to, at one point, Shreveport. So like that whole literally middle part of America, that was our conference. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely empathize with that. But, you know, when you move from one setting to the next, or from one school to the next, can you speak to like the really important points where you had to consider and the things that you considered when you made those changes?
Yeah. Well, the college setting, I could be home for dinner every night, but you know, they're gone for the weekends and things like that. So I had to weigh that. So I'd say, let's just have mostly 5 days a week, because hardly anyone in North Carolina in high school wants to have any events on Saturday. And you're not allowed to do anything on Sunday, because like the ADs don't want to work on Saturday. So no one else is going to, unless it's a rare special event. So that was the one thing. That was kind of a trade-off. No weekends, but I was basically eating dinner out of my microwave 4 to 5 nights a week, depending on the event schedule at the high school. Then I finally was like, oh, I kind of want to be home with both kids to eat dinner and not eat leftovers 4 to 5 nights a week for dinner, just have fresh food. So that was kind of the biggest change I wanted to get into, and just be home for my kids, and be able to, you know, go to my kids' events if they have practice at night. I was able to help coach my son's baseball teams in the spring of 20 and the fall of 20, because he played rec league baseball. So I was able to help coach those, go to all their games on the midweek and not have to be out of the high school covering a practice or a volleyball match or, you know, a JV football game on a Thursday night. So that was probably the biggest thing, just being on first shift all the time, every day, and not having to worry about going anywhere over the weekend unless I wanted to do it myself. Because like my father-in-law is a big hunter, and he doesn't understand watching college football on a Saturday all day. So to bond with him, I started taking up hunting. So now like I don't have to just wait till Thanksgiving when volleyball season's over. I can just go pretty much every Saturday or Sunday that I want. I can take a week off if I want to in November, and somebody will just come and cover me for that. And I don't have to worry about missing 4 or 5 games and a whole bunch of practices and continuing on with that. I just have one of the outreach athletic trainers with the current company come and see my patient load for the week.
Nice. Was there any hesitations that you encountered or that made you really weigh the changes?
The kids going, leaving the, basically once I added a kid, I felt like I needed to change settings. Like the travel with the high school, or I mean at the college level, I wanted to, you know, be home more for the first son. And then the second one, well, burnout was definitely starting to happen with the coverage, especially in North Carolina, because it's just one after another. And there's only 2 dead periods in the summer where you could possibly take vacation without, you know, having someone else cover, because they have 1 dead period in the summer for their coaches association and then 1 for the 4th of July. So basically just grinding week after week after week. And then the season's running right into each other with, you know, no break of early afternoon, possibly getting home at a decent time. It's basically, all right, now you got basketball and there's only 2 gyms, but we have 2 to 3 teams for each sex. So someone's got to go 4 to 6. Someone's got to go 6 to 8. So you're there all night. Yeah, I was definitely getting burned out once my second son was born. So I was like, yep, it's time. So there was no hesitation in finding something from 8 to 5 going into the clinical setting.
Yeah, burnout's definitely a real thing and something that athletic trainers know very well, probably more than any profession, I think, out there. And that seeing that as a sign and understanding that is really important for a lot of people to see and recognize, so that they are able to weigh those options a little bit more effectively when they decide to make changes out there. You know, if you can, what would your recommendation be to somebody that is in that space right now, that is maybe experiencing some burnout, maybe experiencing a little bit of the wear and tear, and is starting to explore a little bit or think about, could you give some recommendations or encouragement, or what would you say to that type of person?
Say, look for any, if you want to stay an athletic trainer, and there are places out there that are paying better and have a better work-life balance. Like if you look, there's many industrial outreach positions available, and that's usually maybe 4 10-hour days or 5 8-hour days that will let you practice as an athletic trainer up to an extent, and you know, treat people as you want. So that'd be, look for an industrial setting. There's some clinical settings that are open like mine, and there's, you know, starting to spread out. People see the value of having an athletic trainer in a clinic if it's not just working as like a physical therapy aide or technician to, you know, help the physical therapist, but to carry your own patient load. Yeah, definitely stay in the setting, just kind of, or stay in the profession, just change your setting until you either help recharge or find ways to to recharge your batteries, or find a place with enough staff where you don't have to do everything by yourself. Like someone else can cover for you for a week if you need it off, or you only have one travel responsibility if you're in the collegiate setting. So that, I think if I had just found somewhere where I could work only college baseball, I might still be there, but I couldn't get a job like that. So I went back to the high school.
Yeah. You know, so you spent about 9 years at the high school setting, within the high school setting at the beginning of your career, and then went back to college. What was that experience like?
It was weird going back as a graduate assistant after being, you know, on my own for 9 years, but it was kind of fun. So I met my wife, you know, on the commuter bus down to campus one day. So in that sense, it was definitely worthwhile. But, you know, it was more fun just because I enjoyed getting on the charter buses going just around Pennsylvania as opposed to a yellow school bus, you know, for a 45-minute to 1 hour, 2 hour drive on a high school football game. And then, you know, although there were about a 6 year when I worked in the collegiate level that I watched maybe 3 college football games a year. So that was kind of the only real adjustment to my regular life. But otherwise, I did enjoy the work, but the travel got to be a bit much after a while.
How'd you meet your wife again?
Let's see. So she was, we were both on the bus. We lived in an apartment complex slightly off campus, but they had a bus that would take us down to campus. I was going down, I think, to the gym to work out or maybe just off to practices, and she was at class. The bus driver was off talking to his mom or somebody on the phone. And so she was like staring at me down just to get her to talk to her. And I said, oh, hey, she's like, he's going to make me late. So then ended up Facebook stalking her through, because she went to undergrad with a girl who was in my athletic training program. She was in the exercise physiology program. So I ended up Facebook stalking her that way and saying, hey, I'm going to go see a movie tonight. So we went to see Men Who Stare at Goats and got married about 2.5 years later.
It's always a fun story.
Yeah.
What a movie to take her to.
Yeah. That was like the only thing local close that looked remotely interesting at the time in November of 2009.
That's funny. Jeremy, do you have any questions?
I'm going to share my screen here, but why don't you talk about the chart that you shared with us and why that is relevant.
It's a big push in athletic training right now is to show your value. You know, in the high school setting, it's basically how much you can save the client by not having them referred to physical therapy, what they would do there, like saving doctor's visits for minor bumps and bruises. But this is basically how I show my value, and it's profit to my company. So you can see the revenue generated on the left for each year since I've been in this setting. And I should put the caveat that in 2019, half of that salary was from Greensboro Orthopedics side, because I transferred basically June 2019. I did a regional transfer to come over and join my setting. So I didn't have to switch companies because we had merged with Emerge Ortho. When I applied, we hadn't quite merged yet, but by the time they got around to interviewing and getting through, I was working for Emerge Ortho at the Triad region. So sometime in, June 3rd, 2019, I came over to work with Emerge Ortho of the Triangle region, which is basically around Raleigh, Durham area, about 50 minutes to the east of the Greensboro office. So the profit would be higher, but I wasn't going to calculate out with different salaries. So basically revenue generated basically by billing work conditioning. And this year I've added functional capacity evaluations. We can talk about that in a minute, but basically each year is the profit generated and then the whole total profit generated. So basically that's been my value since June of 2019. That's an easy way to show your value as an athletic trainer.
All right. So, again, this is the thing that you shared with me. So this shows what your salary was.
And benefits. That's basically money into my bank account and money that they put into paying for like insurance, health insurance, vision insurance, dental insurance. And we have a few other benefits that we get, like legal. I think we have Legal Shield, something like that.
All right. So there's a big step down, a $12,000 step down between 2021 and 2022 as far as salary. Is that not included?
That's just up to date.
Up to date.
Okay. That's through everything else is like January 1 to December 20. This is up to this coming Friday. I get paid tomorrow. So that reflects up through 2 months. So that should be a little higher. The step down from 2020 was I was furloughed for 2 months. So did nothing except collect unemployment for like the end of March, all of April, and then came back the day after Memorial Day of 2020.
Okay. All right. So if you're listening to the podcast and you don't want to go check out the video, then just real quick. So in 2019, the revenue was $77,000 and then the salary was $62,000. Even with the profit of roughly 15, 2020 was 84,000 roughly and 56,000 salary. 2021, the revenue was $97,000 and the salary was $68,000. And up to date in 2022, it's $110,000 in revenue with $56,000 in salary benefit. Again, up to date as of this recording, creating $53,000 in profit. So, talk a little bit more about being in a, I'm salaried. So it doesn't matter how much revenue or profit because I work in a school.
Right.
So tell me a little bit more about that. Is there opportunity for you to make more by creating more revenue for that company?
Yes. I'd get a productivity bonus. When I started, it was every dollar over 45,000. I'd get 8% of that back for each quarter. When the pandemic hit, my kind of work patient load slowed down, so they cut my need in half. So basically every dollar over 22,500 I generate every quarter, I'll get 8% of that back as a quarterly bonus. So I think my last quarterly bonus was about $1,300.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Is we see the profit increasing over the past 4 years, and I want to make sure that's going, at least some of that going back into your pocket. So
yes,
that would have been my question. If you're just generating a ton of revenue for this company, and you know, I would have had some worries for you. So
yes, I'm glad that,
you're using that. And that's a simple chart for athletic trainers. We did this practice for about 3 or 4 years when I worked in the high school setting. We used simple CPT codes that were standardized in Michigan. At that time, we weren't billing for services. So we were able to, and I just took like the top probably 8 things that we did as athletic trainers that could be billed analogous to PT codes. And I was able to kind of generate that profit loss. Really, it was never a loss, it was profit. It was like a theorized profit back to the community.
Okay.
And I wanted to say, like, between seasons, we were, and I say this with a grain of salt and with, I think athletic trainers would understand this. When you put this out there into the business world, you have to explain it a little bit more, but you know, I was saving the community in excess of about $60,000 every season. Now, if you imagine every ankle tape, heat pack, Therax, you know, those types of things that we did or that we do as athletic trainers, if we were able to bill those things, we would have saved in theory money to the community, which was what I ended up doing with a very simple spreadsheet like that to generate more, to show, number one, show my value, my true value in money, but then also use that to go and ask for salary increase and then staffing as well. And if anybody ever is out there that is looking to do that, increase either their salary or staffing, I would highly suggest a simple spreadsheet like that that shows value over time and that you can actually back with actual facts, gives you an objective number for individuals to read quickly, to make a quick assessment, whether or not you're valued one way or the other. So I applaud you for getting that money back into your pocket. So that's a good thing. Yes.
So Bill, 23 years in, you have roughly 10 to 20 years remaining to work, what do you see the rest of your days looking like?
I like doing this for a while. I'm currently in a doctoral athletic training program at my alma mater, Ohio University. So I'm learning some other side things. So maybe eventually administration, but considering that I've just started doing the functional capacity evaluations with the current company, I'd definitely like to keep doing those for a while to advance our profession within North Carolina, and then say that, hey, we can do this around the country. You can pay us to do this here. And then that opens up your physical therapist time to see more patients throughout the day. And so they don't have to do the functional capacity evaluations if your company does industrial rehabilitation.
Bill put in the show notes his email as one of the best ways to get a hold of him. B, and then his last name, Coburn410@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to Bill, B, Coburn410@gmail.com, kind of continue the conversation, ask something specific about his revenue profit chart, or maybe ask about one of the positions that he has opening in his area. Again, everybody seems to be saying, if you have a question about a job or a setting or the company, reach out to the people who are or were there. And so if you want to talk to Bill about one of those places that he's been or one of those people that he know, then hit him up on the email. Again, it's B and then Coburn410@gmail.com. John Seco is on Twitter. It's the best way, most reliable way to get a hold of him. So hit up John Seco on Twitter. Just tell him how amazing he looks in that super small t-shirt if you're watching the live stream. Just kidding. Just kidding. And then I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then if you're looking for hydration, you can always use Hoist Hydration using the code DSMB. So this summer when we were on our road trip, I went up to their headquarters and they gave us some of the pouches, which are really cool. It's kind of like a sun kissed or whatever those little
Capri Sun.
There you go. It's like a Capri Sun because they use those because it creates a whole lot less trash when they're with the military. It's a lot lighter, a lot less trash. And so they have a really good deal going on with the military, and those are really cool options. They got lots of different flavors, and they got the powder packets, and I really like the product that Hoist does, and of course they support the product, the podcast. So this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Bill Coburn, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Bill Coburn. And as we're discussing changing settings, reach out to Bill, reach out to John, reach out to me. If you have questions about any of these settings, any of these things that we've talked about, if you need help getting in touch with somebody, then let us help you there. Let us have this conversation again on air so that people can benefit from your struggles or decisions, hesitations, your decision-making process, so that we can continue to advance the profession of athletic training. So for Jeremy, Bill, and the Sports Medicine Broadcast, that is a wrap.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.